I'm hoping to continue to like push in that positive direction of like be having open and honest conversations, because I don't think like I haven't had conversations like this until, you know, 2020 really. And there's just a lot of little moments of like clarity that I've had that have just like encouraged me along the same path.
The voice you hear is that of Megan Rose, web developer in the Cleveland area specializing in WordPress solutions. Megan works for Blackbird Digital, an award-winning digital agency in Willoughby, Ohio. I ran into Megan during 2020, during the heart of the pandemic, and actually at its beginnings. We worked on a WordCamp together and have been friends ever since. She co-organizes a local meetup in Ohio, as well as she's on the organizing team for WordCamp Northeast Ohio. Some may know it as WordCamp Kent, and volunteers for Cleveland GiveCamp. Check out our conversation. It was inspiring and positive on Back Down Memory Lane. Last year was a crazy year for all of us, but what stood out for me about you was your voice on social media and Twitter specifically. And I was really appreciative as an African-American to hear your takes on a lot of different things. I know we can tend to get into these Twitter fights with folks for different reasons, but I've never been the type of person to get involved in that stuff. But it was really fast. You're a really fascinating follow. I love when you talk about the books you're reading, and I love when you go after folks too. So tell me about how you looked at 2020 in terms of that, your activity online, and if you felt it was a responsibility to speak up, and if so, what were the reasons for that? And I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so I was feeling like a lot of my social media presences were like fragmented versions of me. And I think probably right now, with not having anything in person, I'm guessing a lot of people are feeling that way, that like they've kind of like made these like different versions of themselves and like tailored it to these different platforms. So like for me, the disappointing part about myself is that my Facebook doesn't look the same as my Twitter, and I really wish it did. But you know, Facebook is like a more aggressively conservative space, so that's why my Facebook looks different. I still share things, just not as like aggressively.
I just go over to promote my meetups over there. I don't really use it anymore for that reason. Like during 2020, you know, like the Castaic neighborhood page was really disappointing. I was like, these are the neighbors that I took my kids to soccer with, and they're talking like this. So it was, so I tried to turn that one off.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Facebook is like, oh no, it's fine. Yeah. So probably I guess I was like starting to feel this like, oh, my online doesn't reflect my in-person. And in some cases I feel like my in-person didn't really like reflect my heart too, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like I'm very active on Twitter, but it's not like I'm like walking up to strangers and being like, have you heard of systemic racism? Can I tell you about it? But like, maybe one day I'll get that confident that I can do that.
Well, to me, I see like, in just in the short time that I've known you, the sense of humor and sarcasm reminds me of me. Like a lot of my friends feel like I have biting sarcasm and really bad jokes. But your sense of humor is what I see about you. So you feel like that's not who you are, or there's a part of you that we don't see? Or...
No, I think my Twitter is like my truest self. Like I have like no fear there. And I'm hoping to like, I guess, I mean, well, all I do is really work right now, but I'm hoping to continue to like push in that positive direction of like having open and honest conversations, because I don't think I haven't had conversations like this until, you know, 2020 really. And I think part of what sparked it, like, so obviously, like, George Floyd's killing was really tragic and terrible. And I think, like, I noticed that I was being more vocal after Ahmaud Arbery was killed. That one was especially, like, disturbing because he was just, like, jogging through a neighborhood. And I guess I am privileged in that I am just learning about these things deeply when I'm 29 years old. I didn't have to grow up, like, being acutely aware of all of the terrible things going on. And I think I'm starting to realize how, like, white moderates can be really, like, harmful because they don't take a clear stance. And, like, the colorblindness, I have heard that so much in my life that, like, I don't care if you're purple. It's the dumbest phrase, and we need to abolish it, along with, like, a lot of other things that need abolished. But after, you know, I just dove in and I just listened to, like, as many podcasts as I could. You know, I read, I've got, like, a giant, I've got a big stack of racial justice books behind me.
Nice.
But yeah, like, buying a bunch of books and trying to, like, educate myself, because I feel like I have to play a little bit of catch up because I'm white and I grew up in the suburbs and I'm kind of, like, in a bubble and shielded from everything going on. And there's just a lot of little moments of, like, clarity that I've back into WordPress. I kind of had the two paths to WordPress thing happen too. So basically my start with WordPress, just as, like, the platform that it is, was in college. And I did have a class that was teaching WordPress development. I think it was just, like, Interactive Media 3 or something. It didn't have, like, WordPress in the name or anything, but...
Were you thinking of it as a career back then, or...?
Not WordPress specifically, but, I mean, yeah, development.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I actually, I mean, I can go, like... I can push the origin back even further.
I'll take it all the way home.
Yeah, so I was born. No.
Were you born with a computer, keyboard in your hand?
Yes.
Your parents told you, you know, when you were little, you always had a keyboard.
Yeah, I have pictures of me as a baby with computers. So my interest in computers definitely started because my dad was into computers. He works for AT&T. And he does like phone networking stuff. So it's, like, different type of computers, but we still get to, like, send each other, you know, cool things that we see and talk about it, which is nice as an adult to, like, have those types of conversation with my dad. But yeah, I was interested in computers, like, from early, but I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do. I knew I wasn't, like, I draw, but I didn't consider myself, like, an artistic person or someone who wants to do, like, art as a living. So I never considered myself a designer. But I started making sites back in Neopets, the online game where you have pets and they battle and they have houses and they also have pets of their own. That was when I, like, got into HTML and CSS in the first place. I don't think you could change the markup too much, but yeah, it was inline CSS too. It wasn't, like, anything fancy, but they still have the CSS guide up on their site, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so then when I was in high school, like, took whatever computer stuff they had. It was as limited as most high school curriculums are, but then... my mom found the program I ended up going into for college, which was visual communication technology. So that program was a combination of photography, videography, print, and web. So it was like you do courses in each of those. You do, like, the 101 course, and then you specialize in one. And I specialized... They also had some marketing classes. So I think I did, like, a marketing specialization and a web development specialization. Mm-hmm. And then just because I had an interest in it, I got a telecommunications minor. So I did like a tiny bit of, you know, like courses on like radio writing and stuff like that, and like instruction writing. And,
you know, the purpose of what I do in my podcast is to sort of share initial memories. And I wanted to ask you, what was your first impression of me? I know on the intake form, you mentioned a couple of funny things. And just so you know, I used to be a Toastmaster. So I went through the whole program. And as a creative, I always found that all the speeches were generally boring. So I always try to do something a little different. So you've seen me in a couple of those different moments. But that's just part of my silliness. Like I embarrass my kids and family, like when we go to dinner, because I'm always doing silly stuff. But it's just part of the creative process. So anyway, going back to when we met last year, what do you remember first? And then we'll sort of compare memories and go from there.
Yeah, so first would be we met on Slack, which is
you see the little red dot.
Yeah,
at Joe. Yeah,
different. The
yeah.
You know, the noise. There's I did the hand motion because have you seen the person who like did the noise in real life with wood blocks?
Oh, I did not.
Oh, it's pretty.
I
know, cool.
I mean, I remember those from when we were young. We took our family to Disney World, and we saw the whole movie about, you know. There was Casey Jr. coming down the track, and then they were doing all the behind the scenes noises. It was a little movie that you saw in the Disney animation studio. So anyway.
Yeah. We met on Slack, and it was Cami Chaos that introduced us. So I really didn't know like what to expect about you, about Santa Clarita.
Were you skeptical when you heard about, you know, we're being connected so that we can help each other out, or did you?
I think I was just like anxious. I'm an anxious person. And so like event planning, especially, it gets me like real jittery. So I was just like, I think we had like pretty short notice. I think didn't we join in pretty late?
Yeah. We only had 19 days.
Yeah. So
we postponed it. It was going to go the first weekend of April. And then we found out we were going to go to the 21st. So it was like, bam. And then I think he jumped on right away.
Yeah. And I don't remember if she asked a lot of qualifying questions for like David and I, but I'm pretty sure she just messaged us and said, I'm going to connect you with Joe so you can volunteer at their event. And we were just like, okay.
Nice. So how far along were you on WordCamp Kent? And how many, mm-hmm. I'm going to pose a question to you that you asked me, how many WordCamps have you been to? What was your WordPress to WordCamp experience like?
So I'll start with that. So the WordCamps I had been to, I started going in 2014. I think it was October 2014. And it was Ann Arbor was the first one I went to. So I actually drove for my first one. It's like a 4-hour drive or something.
Oh, nice. I went to Eastern, which is right. Ipsy is right next to Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michigan has really great WordCamps. Highly recommend those.
So, have you been to Grand Rapids?
I have not, but I know, it's a really good one, and I hear great things about it. I think the one opportunity that I had, we were like deciding who was going to go to what from the company, and David wanted to go to it. So I was like, okay, you go there. So I missed out on my, my most recent chance to go, but yeah, I do have plans to go someday once we're back to doing things in person. So started going back then, but I only went to one that year and like one the next year. I actually spoke at Columbus the next year. And then went to maybe like two or three the years after. I didn't have a lot of money to be traveling. So in Ohio, had Columbus for a while, but I apparently just hit the tail end of it because they just had the 2015 one and they haven't had one in Columbus since.
Okay.
So, and I like drove out to like Pittsburgh one year.
And then there's Dayton too, right? Dayton and...
Yeah, and Dayton.
Or is that considered part of Northeast Ohio?
And I think Dayton Dayton had a couple years off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was one in Cincinnati at some point, but I think I went to that actually. I think I went to a Cincinnati one. But yeah, so I'm like a couple a year. I've probably been to more in more recent like history, just with them being online.
Mm-hmm.
So I got involved with Northeast Ohio. It was called the camp that I work with, because it's like sometimes organizing
and your home base,
sometimes leading. Yeah. The one that's near me, my local one, has been called like North Canton, Northeast Ohio, Kent, and it's going to be called Northeast Ohio again, because we're going to do an online one.
Okay.
Again, hopefully. So I think we pivoted pretty early, because I kind of made that call with WordCamp Kent. I remember we were in person. So it was like before we started doing like stay at home orders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And before work started being work from home, we were like still at the office. And I was like, I think we should just plan on doing something online, because then we'll have enough lead time. So our camp would have been in May. And that
how
was
far out did you make the decision?
Probably late March.
Wow. Yeah, you had a lot of lead time.
Yeah, because I think we didn't do from home until like beginning of April or something. And I know we made that call before we started work from home. So, and we kind of like made the decision without having a lot of back and forth communication with Central.
Oh, by the way, we're doing this.
We only had like a minor hiccup with that, which was like we knew for sure once San Antonio went online, once they announced they were going online, we were like, okay, this is a fine thing we can do. Like, we know it's in the clear, like this one was okayed, we'll get okayed. But we did accidentally not realize that we weren't supposed to charge for tickets. So we were like, let's just cut the price in half and just sell them for half. And we sold a couple of them.
Nice.
And so we had to refund them.
Yeah, we were set to go, so we had to refund everything, you know, the sponsors, everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the time when we postponed, they didn't think we would start it back up. So, yeah. That's amazing. And then the other thing I thought was interesting, again, I was connected the same way via Slack. I felt like I could feel a bit of the apprehension that you guys didn't know what to expect. And it made me think of, I felt the same way when I was on San Antonio's team. And I was like, I need to go out of my way to try to smooth things out and make things easier for you folks. So hopefully it was a good experience, because you asked me to speak on one of your panels, which was kind of cool too. I really appreciated that. And to me, that sort of got me going about thinking about speaking at other camps, because I was like, wow, because Michelle is one of, like, there's a few people that I've seen, just like the folks I've seen on lynda.com. Like, I've seen all the community folks, and being able to work with the two of them on the panel. Andrea as well was pretty awesome. So I was like, wow, she asked me to be on a panel with them. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was just thinking of like who, I knew I wanted to do a community panel like from the start. I actually, we had like semi-successfully done a community track, but I felt like it didn't get as many bodies in the room as I wanted it to. So I just was like, can we just do a panel and just like people have to go to it. they have to, they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing available. Cause for whatever reason, like given the opportunity, if there's like a community-based thing or like an educational-based thing, people always go to the educational, even if they might get more out of the community, because they don't know it's for them. So I was like, well, let's just hold them hostage, and like they're gonna know it's for them afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. So it's like contributor day. Like a lot of folks are, you know, it's usually the day after, because a lot of folks head home.
Yeah, and I was just like, who are the most community-minded people? And you were the three that I thought of.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Who is this crazy guy from California?
Memo to self. Random musings while out and about in Los Angeles.
found out a lot about myself during the pandemic. And one thing that I've learned is to roll with it, to go with the flow. And this is actually an extension of the changes in my life since my heart event. During the pandemic, we were all forced to stay inside or forced to change what we normally do, which can be stressful and problematic. If you want to hold on to, and you see this a lot with a lot of people that just feel like we're entitled to a certain lifestyle or entitled to certain things that aren't really in our control. So during the pandemic, I've done some things that I laugh at now because either I'm getting old or I'm truly going with the flow. So one thing is now to get a lot of things done, I feel like I'm a lot more productive when I just, if I feel tired, I sleep. If I feel like working, I get up and work. If I feel like exercising, I get up and exercise. If I feel like listening to music. So there's no set schedule. You know, we're all creatures of habit. We think that we need to work from 9 to 5. What if you're an early morning person? What if you're a late morning person? So to me, during the pandemic, I've sort of gone with the flow. And I found that over the past 12 months, I've been incredibly productive because I've taken that tack. So my memo to self is be flexible and be open. Because again, during crisis, we often find things about ourselves or find out things that we didn't know. How many of us, there's so many services that have popped up that have been smart or that have taken advantage of our income. It shouldn't say taken advantage of, but leveraged our inconveniences to make a better process. I'll talk to you next week on Back Down Memory Lane. Cheers.
So basically my start with WordPress, just as like the platform that it is, was in college. And I did have a class that was teaching WordPress development. I think it was just like Interactive Media 3 or something. It didn't have like WordPress in the name or anything, but.
Were you thinking of it as a career back then or?
Not WordPress specifically, but I mean, yeah, development.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I actually, I mean, I can go like, I can push the origin back even further.
I'll take it all the way home.
Yeah. So I was born. No.
Were you born with a computer, keyboard in your hand?
Yes.
Your parents told you, you know, when you were little, you always had a keyboard.
Yeah. I have pictures of me as a baby with computers. So my interest in computers definitely started because my dad was into computers. He works for AT&T and he does like phone networking stuff. So it's like different type of computers, but we still get to like send each other, you know, cool things that we see and talk about it, which is nice as an adult to like have those types of conversation with my dad. But yeah, I was interested in computers like from early, but I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do. I knew I wasn't like, I draw, but I didn't consider myself like an artistic person or someone who wants to do like art as a living. So I never considered myself a designer, but I started making sites back in Neopets, the online game where you have pets and they battle and they have houses and they also have pets of their own. So that was when I like got into HTML and CSS in the first place. I don't think you could change the markup too much, but yeah, it was inline CSS too. It wasn't like anything fancy, but they still have the CSS guide up on their site, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So then when I was in high school, like took whatever computer stuff they had. It was as limited as most high school curriculums are. But then my mom found the program I ended up going into for college, which was visual communication technology. So that program was a combination of photography, videography, print, and web. So it was like you do courses in each of those. You do like the 101 course and then you specialize in one. And I specialized that they also had some marketing classes. So I think I did like a marketing specialization and a web development specialization. Mm-hmm. And then just because I had an interest in it, I got a telecommunications minor. So I did like a tiny bit of, you know, like courses on like radio writing and stuff like that. And like instruction writing. And
Is that still a part of your background? Are you still interested in the other parts of the visual communications technology stuff? Like, is that why does that have any, you know, any of the online behind the scenes stuff, or you did you have an extra incentive or
so interest? I think I don't like I still like have my camera. I'm not like super big into photography or video. I like that I have the background in it though, because it makes it easier to like talk to designers and stuff. And it makes it easier to like relate to people, honestly, because a lot of people like photography, especially creative people. So it like, you know, gives me something to talk about with them. I feel like I use that other stuff less and less every year. The telecommunications stuff, I feel like I, it really like sparked my interest in like privacy and in like global communications and kind of like just being like a better global citizen in a way. So I think that just kind of like, it was good because it just kind of like pushed me into like a different interesting like realm of topics that I would have otherwise not even known they existed.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I did want to shift gears a little. Last year was a crazy year for all of us, but what stood out for me about you was your voice on social media and Twitter specifically. And I was really appreciative as an African American to hear your takes on a lot of different things. I know we can tend to get into these Twitter fights with folks for different reasons, but I've never been the type of person to get involved in that stuff. But it was really fast. You're a really fascinating follow. I love when you talk about the books you're reading, and I love when you go after folks too. So tell me about how you looked at 2020 in terms of that, your activity online, and if you felt it was a responsibility to speak up, and if so, what were the reasons for that? And I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so I was feeling like a lot of my social media presences were like fragmented versions of me. And I think probably right now, with not having anything in person, I'm guessing a lot of people are feeling that way, that like they've kind of like made these like different versions of themselves and like tailored it to these different platforms. So like for me, the disappointing part about myself is that my Facebook doesn't look the same as my Twitter, and I really wish it did. But you know, Facebook is like a more aggressively conservative space. So that's why my Facebook looks different. I still share things, just not as like aggressively.
I just go over to promote my meetups over there. I don't really use it anymore for that reason. Like during 2020,